Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we talk with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. Willie is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinnis. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you. I know we could probably ask this question every single week, but after watching what happened in the NFL last night, it seems more topical now than ever. Does the NFL have an officiating problem?
I don't think they have a problem. I just think, man, there's some impactful calls, and I think that the NFL has the capabilities of getting calls right, every call right, because of the resources we have with replay and the equipment and everything we have in New York. And I just think that we have to start getting it right. Nobody's perfect. Definitely not the referees or players. Nobody's perfect, but we have the capabilities of getting calls right, and I think we have to do that.
What did you think of the two calls against Trey Flowers last night?
Yeah, I mean, once you watch them back, I wasn't aware that was a penalty. I just wasn't, and I don't know why it was called or why it wasn't overturned. Like, why was that a penalty?
What do you think of the replay process overall? Because again, like you said, they are trying to get the plays correct. I mean, that's why else would you have the replay there to begin with? But it just seems like there something's missing or something's broken. Like I don't know if what's reviewable is right or not. But just the overall process of the replay, how do you think it's being utilized?
Which part of it are you talking about? Like the OPIs or
Well, DPIs? So that part that they added, but then just the officials going, and then you have you're going to Riveron to figure out everything that's going on. Do you like the way that it's being used?
I think you have to. I think you miss certain things, especially the bang bang plays on the field. Sometimes the naked eye can't catch everything. But you make the initial call on the field, whether it's a turnover or whatever, all those things are reviewable, or you can challenge it. And it goes to New York. It goes to Al Riveron and the crew out there. And they have the equipment and the resources to replay everything at every single angle, slow it down. And the process should allow you to make the best call, or the right call for that matter. And I just think that we have to do a better job. The referees, the league, everybody, of trying to do that. And they're trying. I'm not going to sit here and say that, there's something there where they're not, or trying to discourage calls or whatever the case may be. But when you have the resources to do it, you have to make the right call. And it's not going to always be in favor of the team that, you think it's going to be, or the team that wants it.
Booger McFarland was pretty outspoken in his criticism of the calls last night. There has always been this narrative out there that the NFL doesn't like people criticizing the officiating. Does the NFL Network have an edict about trying not to criticize the officials?
Everybody gets criticized in whatever you do, whether it's in the workplace, in the office building, whether you're an executive. Everybody gets critiqued on your work and your production. Coaches get critiqued, sometimes lose their jobs behind it. Players, same way. If you don't play at a certain level or you make mistakes, you get critiqued in meetings, in the film room, and you could be released, or you could be, fined, or whatever the case may be. So whenever you're working in the workplace, you are going to be critiqued and criticized. I don't think you can avoid that. Now, is it a tough job? Of course it is, because everybody wants a certain call to go their way. But there's certain calls that we say are clear and obvious that we have to get right. That we can't make the mistake, and we got to make sure that we're taking our time and getting those plays right.
Antonio Brown is looking for a resolution and as to whether or not he could play. And do you think that the league owes that to Antonio Brown? Do you think the league needs to come out and say, hey, if he is signed by a team, he will not be put on the commissioner's exempt list?
I have no idea what's going on in Antonio Brown's case. I know he has some grievances out there, some things going on against the league and against the teams. I think for Antonio Brown, this time away from the game is giving him an opportunity to clear his head and get himself together with whatever's going on with him personally. I think football is you know, is going to be there for great athletes with great skill sets. But at the end of the day, mentally, you got to be ready for that. You got to make sure you're in a good space, and you got all your, you know, your ducks in a row, and you're functioning well as a player and as a person. As far as the league, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what the investigation is, what's been uncovered, what's going on with that. I don't have preview to that information. Only the league does. So I think if he was to get signed by a team, that's when we would get the information from what's going on with all that.
If you were in charge of a team that was in need of an impactful wide receiver, would you take a chance on him? Would you sign him?
I mean, that's a tough question. My first thing would be, could I trust him? You know, could I trust Antonio Brown to come in and be a good teammate, to not have all the extracurricular things going on that are distractions? Nobody's going to tell him he can't have his social media or use his social media, but it's become a weapon, you know, in some cases for some teams, and it's been a distraction. So he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to make a decision going forward on that part of it. When you come into the workplaces for work, what happens in-house inside of an organization or a team should stay in-house. When things don't go your way, when things don't go your way or the situation you're in doesn't work out, you can't throw everybody under the bus. You got to have a level of loyalty when it comes to that. You know, for me, it just thinks it's all about the team and the ownership and the guys in that locker room. And if you're willing to take a chance, and after having that conversation with him, seeing where he's at, will you be able to trust that, you know, you're going to have a great working relationship with Antonio Brown, and things are not going to go south the minute something doesn't go his way.
There's an article in the Globe today about the frustration Tom Brady is feeling with the lack of weapons, for lack of a better term here, that are at his disposal. Does Tom Brady have a right to be frustrated with what he's got to work with week in, week out?
Well, I mean, I think that's always been a question, except for a few years, about, you know, the weapons with Tom Brady, when they had Wes and when they had, you know, Randy Moss, guys of that nature, and the tight ends, both tight ends. And now, you know, it looks a little bit different out there. I will say Tom has always been productive with who has ever been out there. And those guys have worked their tails off to play at a high level and make the plays. Last year, when you look at the supporting cast of Tom Brady, I thought it was a great group. I thought the guys went out and played at a high level. Of course, there's no Gronk now, but Gronk missed some time last year, and this offense was still productive. At some point, when you're trying to play at a certain level, you gotta have guys at your disposal with a certain skill set to help you in the fight. I think Edelman's the number one. He's a great receiver. He's tough. He's out there. Philip Dorsett has taken his game to a whole nother level, but he has to be on the field. N'Keal Harry's the guy who's on. You know, he's not there yet. I think as far as being ready to go, not only just physically, you know, but mentally, understanding and knowing the game, going out there, being effective. The running backs are definitely, that group of guys are some of the best in the league. So you got all those guys at your disposal, but it looks different. And, you know, I've won Super Bowls when we didn't have the best receivers as far as what the league considered the best receivers in the league on our team. And all they did was go out there and make plays and work hard. So I understand the frustration. I know it's tough. That's the decision that, you know, Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft and Tom and Josh, they're going to have to work out. There's somebody available. There's things that's going on. The way they're going to go game plan going forward, they're going to have to make those tough decisions and figure that out.
Willie, what's your assessment of Sony Michel? He had a good rookie year. He was great in the playoffs last year. And then this season, it looks like, and I know the offensive line isn't as good, but it still looks like he has taken a step back. His yards per carry is down a whole yard, and he was even losing out on goal line carries to Brandon Bolden and Tom Brady last week.
Well, I mean, the Tom Brady carries, we know that, you know, Tom's notorious for that quarterback sneak, one of the best, you know, in the league at doing that. But I would say I'm not panicking. He's a yard shy of what he's averaged. I'm not panicking. It's only 6 weeks into the season. And I think when you're evaluating teams and you're looking at players and what they've done in their production, there's certain elements, the reason why, you're not as productive or you're not where you want to be. That's why you work on it. It's only the first quarter. Going into the second quarter of the season, it's still early. Guys will start to make plays. Guys will start to play at a certain level. The game plan will change. Sony Michel will have his carries. He will have his yards. He'll have his production. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's fallen off a cliff in 1 year because his numbers aren't where they need to be. In that system, on that team, your numbers do fluctuate because your job description changes every single week. So a lot has to do with the scheme and the game plan of what they're doing as a team versus what he's actually doing on the field.
In this day and age, when everything is geared towards offensive football and making it harder and harder for defenses to play at the same level, is it possible for a team to win a Super Bowl with a middle-of-the-road offense but a great defense?
Absolutely. I think the Baltimore Ravens, what was that, 2000, had one of the best defenses in the league, and I think that defense carried them all the way to the Super Bowl and gave them an opportunity to win. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002? One of the best defenses in the league carried them all the way in. I think they scored 14 points or maybe even 21 points in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, defenses give you an opportunity, and sometimes great defensive play gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl. Hey, and don't forget about the Denver Broncos, you know, their last Super Bowl. That was all because of the defense. The way they played, scoring points and being aggressive, taking the ball away, giving the offense a short field and going out and playing at a high level. So, of course it does.
Of course, the flip side of that is having a really good offense and a bad defense, and that's what it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs have. I think going into the year, most people thought Patriots and Chiefs were the top two teams in the AFC. Back-to-back home losses for the Chiefs. Do you still have them up there, or do you, because of the losses and who they lost to, do you knock them down a little bit?
No, I mean, you knock them down because of their record, but they're still a really good football team. And I broke down some tape defensively of the Kansas City Chiefs, and what I'm seeing is a lot of the plays that they're giving up, the ground game is what jumps off the screen of all the yards they're giving up rushing. And a lot of times when you break down, it's technique. It's not that the guys are bad football players. I don't think Chris Jones is a bad football player. I don't think Clark is a bad football player. I think those guys are really good, and they've dominated in this league. But when I watch the scheme, it's technique. A lot of the plays, they're stunting themselves out of the play, creating seams and big plays for themselves. And teams are doing a good job of taking advantage of what they're doing to themselves and capitalizing off of that. Offensively, I don't think anybody in the league is going to say, oh, offensively, this team is done. They're going through some injuries, major injuries, and that's not an excuse. You still got to find ways to win. But this team is explosive, has some of the best talent offensively in the league. And once they get going, once they get back on track, we're still going to be talking about this team is one of the best teams, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be competing down the line late in the season for the AFC.